All right, good morning, everyone. Certainly a privilege to be able to share. I'm delighted, every time I go across town to city of Jonesboro, I get a little excited because we are recreating new things. You know, if folks would only know and practice what we are teaching, if they would only get older, life would be so much easier for everybody. Not everybody understands that, though. And this is the task that you and I have before us during this time where we are supposed to be a light. And as we heard in the opening prayer, God does do it just one day. I was thinking about that, this morning as I see folks, even solitary, slightly start, well, let's just hurry up and get out of the service and then they want to go do their own thing, forgetting Isaiah 58. And the end result is, folks, what we are doing when we come before the Lord, we're storing up. We're storing up. It's like a bank account. We're storing up credits. I think we understand that phrase now because it's used so much in the secular world. You get credit. You get credit. You store up credit. Well, that helps out. So in time of need, you can call on the Lord, much like Hezekiah did. And you say, hey, listen, Lord, I need so and so. And before the prophet went to the door, he got a word. Go back and tell him. And it's his life. And you know the story. All right. But you and I, folks, have been privileged to be a part of the greatest work on earth. We have been given the opportunity to take the good news of the coming kingdom of God. You know, I see a lot of folks out there. They're very busy. They're busy creating their own kingdom. And they don't really know where they're going. You remember Adolf Hitler, the man who was going to set up this system that lasts for 1,000 years? He didn't last but a couple of years himself. But it only goes to show, you see, only God can do this. I want to begin by just giving a little testimony again. We're saying it one more time so it go off in the airwaves. Because I want to remind everyone, ladies and gentlemen, can you turn to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, loud and clear so the folks down in the Caribbean can hear you? So Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, because this past week, I was, my back was against the wall, so to speak. So go ahead, please.
Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
All right, thank you. Did you all hear that, folks, over on the air? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we all keep that in mind, ladies and gentlemen, because what he used to do when he was on earth, he is doing now, except at a larger scale. That's it. He hasn't changed. What he used to do, he used to tear down the kingdom of darkness. He's still doing that now, if we're willing. And so, just want to remind everyone, I think, the wrong address. But, what happened is that I want to remind everybody, because this week, I remember talking to the Lord, and I said, Lord, hey, I have to preach on Saturday. I can't afford to miss it. So please wrap this up today. That's what I told him. I said, please wrap this up today. And make a long story short, that's exactly what happened. They wrapped things up. And man, do I feel good. Does my body feel good? And my kidneys are working very well. Listen to me. I am excited. I'm a little beside myself, folks. It was funny because before I left the hospital and they were trying to tell me, about exercises and so on. And so I was demonstrating that, hey, listen, I do a lot of, exercises and stuff like that. And so they were saying, that we need to be, take it easy. But I was so excited because we passed the threshold. So I said to the Lord, okay, we're on to the next phase. Why is that? Because the enemy is not going to leave. He's going to try to pull something else. Stop and think about it. I've never heard of any other situation where the doctor gets sick trying to do the operation. But that was my experience. I don't remember which time it was, but that happened. And so my point, though, is the enemy, it was funny because when I told my sister, first thing out of her mouth was, the devil is a liar. And I said, yes, he is, because he's going to lose. So anyway, we prayed and God, funny things. And I remember asking them for, let me take another scan. I want to see what I'm dealing with. It's the other. And I said, let me take a scan. It's all right, okay. And we took a scan and they saw the result. Oh, man, they got so excited about it. Oh, we almost done. Anyway, my point is God came through. And so if you go back and listen to the teaching from this past Wednesday, it's a weekly teaching for those who are listening online for September 10th. I was explaining that, because the title was, Is Promise, singular. He is my healer. That's what I was making reference to. And I said, I will give you an update next week. So this coming Wednesday, I'm going to give an update. And I was confident he was going to come through for me. I was confident he came through. And so I give God praise. And in addition, the saints. I've never heard so many people call and say, Brother, can I pray with you? Can I pray with you? And so, as a matter of fact, I got more, you know, calls like that than is at all. But it's quite a few, you know, and so I give God praise for that. And so they are sharing now in the testimony of what God has done, and he will do again. Why? Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he says to one, he says to all. He's not going to back down. His job initially was, he was anointed by God with the Holy Ghost and power. And he was there going around healing all that who were sick and oppressed. In, let's see, Acts 10, 38, is that it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's see. Who want to read that loud and clear?
Right here. Acts 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Ghost, and his power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed.
Thank you. So God, once he's in it, that's part of what he does. He make wrong things right. You know, he make wrong things right. And sometimes, by the way, you don't really have to ask. If you're walking with him and you're blindsided by the enemy, he'll look out for you. Because how did I get to the down hospital so quick? Doctor that first heard the message panicked. He said, no, we've got to get him down there right away. They come back and tell me, you're not going home, you're going to the hospital. They panicked, and I thought, man, that's good panic when I stop and think about it. Because we all didn't get a chance to think or pray about this stuff. You know, see, you know, they made that decision. They said, oh, we already made that decision. And planning, you have a room down there already, and we're setting it up for you. Just go on down there. So we're just waiting on transportation right now. Daniel was sitting in a chair just like that down there, and he said, all right, Daniel, let us pray for you and go on home. And that's what he did. But I'm saying, even when I wasn't thinking, what was I doing before? I was busy getting ready, preparing myself to take care of my wife and take care of operation. And so here it is. It was funny. You know, I beat her to the hospital. I ended up going there. And, of course, she's in one and I'm in another, but God sees us through. So we need praise for that. Yeah, he had it all worked up. Oh no, the enemy didn't. He thought he had something up his sleeve. And it's the biggest stone we have ever seen. Well, in fact, the statement was, this had to have been there for at least 4 years. Well, for the size, I could see why they say that, but I know that was not the case because they just took a scan of me, I think a year and a half before, and it was not there. All right, so anyway, again, God came through. All right, anyway, ladies and gentlemen, what I want to share with us, and I've been thinking about this for several weeks, and I try to fit this into the appointed times, because you know we're coming up with these things. for the fall, the conclusion of this cycle. And these moedims, or appointed times, you and I are to observe them. Not everybody understands this. Most of the Christian world, quote-unquote Christian world, don't know this. And the enemy has been very busy hiding it from them. They don't know. But you and I do know. And so we're going to keep that in mind. But I want us to begin by looking at, let's get a few proverbs or a few scriptures in our spirit first. Because I have a slightly addition to this. I think we're all familiar with the holidays and what they represent. So I won't go into that from that perspective. But I want you to see how God operates, all right? And so in Proverbs, the 14th chapter, let me turn to it. Proverbs chapter 14. By the way, I didn't prove this before I come, but I believe I got the right way. 14 and verse 12 says, there's a way that seems right to a man. It seems right, doesn't mean it's right, it just looked that way to him because of their, you know, twisted viewpoint or understanding. But the ends thereof are the ways of death. Think about that for a minute. We have a lot of people graduating from colleges this year, going out into the work world, and they have a way that seems right to them. We know full well they don't know nothing about it. And the way that they're going to pursue is going to pursue to their downfall, and they just don't even know it. Think about that for a minute. Regular degree, advanced degrees, you know, PhD, postdoctoral studies and stuff like that. And they don't know the basics of how to live. See, folks don't really get it. And that's one of the reasons why you and I have to make sure we walk humble, because God has given us, granted us the privilege of knowing these things. So that way seems right, but it doesn't lead to the right result or the desired result. Let's go to Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, and we're going to go to verse 19. Because it says, I call heaven and earth to go to record this day. So he said, you're my witness. Heaven and earth is my witness against you that I have set before you life and death. We all have a choice. We are commanded to choose. We are of a higher being, our higher nature, than the animals. They can't choose. In fact, to some extent they can. But my point is that they don't have the type of intelligence that you and I have because of the spirit that is in us. And so he says, I've set before your life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life that both you and your seed may live, or your descendant. And a lot of nations are making choices, aren't they? They're having all these different meetings and so on. And what is going to be the end result? Chaos. The world is going down one way. But all these supposedly educated people, only goes to show that they are off on a tangent and they don't even know. And he says that you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cleave unto him, for he is your life. Let's shove it all together. God is my life. Come on.
God is my life.
We have to let people know that from time to time. You trying to tell Mr. Brown you can't miss one Sabbath? No. Sorry. I'm so sorry. That's one of them. I'm saying, no, I'm sorry. Have a nice day. I'm gone. You're doing a good job. Sure gonna miss you. But I'll miss it too. But my point is this. I've already made a decision. I am resolved. By the way, that's part of what I was thinking. And so we're gonna have to declare this before. So it may be that you start working one day a week. And then you may get something else 2 days a week, or if you don't have your own business, that is. And then 3, until God promote you little by little. Because no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And sometimes we have to be tested in every case. We don't always keep our word. Sometimes we don't always follow through. It's not that God is not provided. He's a great provider. He's always looking out for us. If we only knew, Jesus said, if you only knew. Well, he's still saying the same thing, and a lot of people just not listening. So I want you now to think about that, the way that seemed right, and the fact that we must make choices, because what I'm going to look, discuss, and share today is what I call systems, God's system, or man-made, which we have to make a choice. Whether we're going to follow God's system or man-made. Now, the world is busy trying to build their own. You know, the communist world, they don't even give the people a choice. They just tell them, hey, listen, I'm the government. You don't do what we say we should do. And they mean business about it. Think about it. People were just trying to escape. They're not asking for food. They were just trying to escape to go to West Germany. You know when people shotgun trying to cross that wall before they actually put up that big physical wall? Even that American sergeant that came near to the wall, they shot him dead, Nichols. All they were trying to do is get away to where they believe there is freedom. By the way, the day before, Poland shot down the 20, what do you call those? Two drones. Yes, top 40 were coming, they sent a fighter jet, shot down on 20. Time for Russia. Alright, well, here it is now. The Russians get a little upset. They don't apologize for what they did. They were saying Finland is preparing to attack them. Somebody Google this for me. What's the population of Finland? They're saying now Finland is preparing to attack Russia. And they're saying if they do it again, which of course they didn't do it the first time, but they were the ones who attacked Finland in 1938. If they do it again, it's not going to end right for them, because they will not be a state when they're finished, when Russia is finished with them. What does that sound like to you? They're preparing to attack Finland. That's what it is. Now, for those who have doubts, I've been telling them that this man is bent on rebuilding the Soviet Empire. They need to pay close attention. Yes, sir.
5.6 million.
They have a 1,000-mile border between them and Russia. And yet, he's there now accusing Finland of preparing to attack Russia, and they're saying no, for such a preparation, they deserve to be attacked. We have a lot of indecisive leaders because they can't recognize evil when it's staring them in the face. So here you have the Prince of Meshek. Re-establishing the Soviet Empire before everybody's face, and folks still deny it. Somehow believe. Oh, he said they are Nazis. They're nothing but Nazis. Alright, so these people, living their quiet life, only 5+ million. What's the book number again?
5.6 million.
Not much. And yet, folks are there accusing them of being Nazis and preparing to go attack. So what do you know? Everybody signed up now over there to join the reserves. You're beginning to see that. I'm saying, you and I see the big picture and we have clear-eyed view of things, and we have to make decisions whether it's God's system or man-made system that we are going to embrace. We have to make that decision. All right, let's go back and look at some things, because what I'm trying to say is I want us to understand that God is very, very logical. You know, I remember giving them speech some years ago, and I was saying, God is the greatest engineer of all time. And the more I think about this, I'm going to recognize, yes, he is. He got it all figured out. And so in Genesis chapter 1, Genesis, in the beginning, the first book, says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so this is what I call the, well, other translations, one says the ageless past. So it is some long time ago. Now, there are people who jump to conclusion and say it's 6,000 years ago. We don't know that. In fact, we know it's longer than that. But I just want us to understand, and I'm saying this again because I mentioned this in a message a few weeks ago, and I want to make sure we get it clear, that God had a system in place. In fact, we have a lot of systems. If we want to get over that, I'll recognize it. Because we understand how the system works, and it works well for us. When those doctors understood how the system worked, they thought, oh, that's okay, they had it together. What about the mechanic? You go over there and, oh man, after in a few minutes you can get it done. You're there scratching your head and I'll figure out, oh, what we're going to do. Is this difficult? And he's doing it all. In 2 minutes he come and he look at it and say, oh, this is the answer. And he got it figured out. He understand the system. Well, I'm saying when you understand God's system, it becomes easier for us. Because we are supposed to be living for him. We're walking a walking display. In fact, I alluded to that again. I'll show you a little bit about my message today, but that's what he was doing. You know, I was listening. And so my point here, though, is that he made the heaven and the earth. And verse 2 says the heaven, God says that the earth, rather, was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. Well, God doing stuff like that. So what happened there? But it's not stated here. By the way, I mean, that's just a show of hands quickly. Anybody understand the idea of the recreation? Anybody else? All right, let me go ahead and say it so that everybody on the same page. Because what happened is this. Satan the devil was on the earth. He was placed here to beautify it. And he decided, he got it. He had decided, he's going to take over. Instead of doing the assignment that was given to him, he decided, I want to be like the Most High. I'm going to ascend into the heavens. He want to be over everything. You know, realize that he's only existing because God allowed him. But he got beside himself and he decides he's going to ascend up there. We read about this in, Ezekiel 28. And verse 14. So I'm just bringing this to our attention now so that we get it clear. Yeah, so we understand. So when you go back to Genesis, because by the way, you could figure this out over time, but for the sake of time, that's why I'm here teaching today. He says, you are the anointed cherub that cover. I have set thee so. So thou was upon the holy mount of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect, verse 15, in the way that you from the you were perfect in the day, in the way in your ways from the day that you were created until iniquity was found in you. So he was, you know, he had it together and he got beside himself. Verse 16 says, by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence and so on. So he go in and he starts to impose, which is why you see the cities are behaving just like him. What does Father mean? He's the one who generates things, right? And so what does he generate? The same thing that he brought on the earth is what he generated to the cities and stuff like that. Everybody who chooses not to follow God, what are they doing? They end up following him by default. And so here it is now. He come and he decide, I'm going to do this. All right, let's go back to Isaiah. Let's see. 14 and verse 12.
Okay, Isaiah 14 and verse 12. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Now, here it is again. This is proof that the nations are being weakened now by Satan the devil. I know these leaders think they got it together, they're going to make this great, and they're going to do whatever. Listen, the nations are being weakened because the people are out from under the umbrella of protection from the Lord. All nations, not just anyone, all of them. And he did weaken the nations, and the only ones really were escaping, like us, who decided we're going to make the Lord our roi, our shepherd. All right? And so he weakened the nations. You have said in your heart, I will ascend into the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Stars, you're referring to angels. And I will be also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. He really is high-minded. And he decided he's going to do that. Well, you know what Jesus told him. I saw him fall like lightning. That's in Luke. Do I have it here? Luke 10, verse 18. I saw him fall, like lightning. So God just knocked him out, just like that. I mean, there was no competition. He is God, and he's almighty. And knocked him out. And that was it right there, but he didn't remove him completely because of the nature of God. Prepare a successor before he proposes to place in somebody. He always does that. That's another part that you'll pick up as you study the Bible. See, that's part of what he does. That's one of the reasons why Satan the devil is still here on the earth, ruling over the nations. Now, we all know how to do what he says, but most people don't know God did. The Bible said they don't know how to rebel against him, and consequently, they just fall in line. As the Bible said, he hold them captive at his will, anytime he wanted. That young man who went and shoot this young fellow, he's only 22. He's not even old enough to hate anything anyway. I don't know if somebody beat that fellow. And he shoot that young man, Charlie Kirk, this week. What was that fellow talking about? Constantly telling people that America needs to turn back to God. That was the gist of it. That was his organization, Turning Point USA. He's been doing it since he was really late 17. He's only 31, he started in 2011, but one of those. But my point was that this is all he was doing, spending his life trying to tell people about Jesus. And see, they took him out. They took him out. People following the enemy, not realizing it. Now, just something else to help substantiate part of what I was sharing a while ago, because what I'm saying is we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 1 in just a minute, but let's go to Job, the 38th chapter, and pick up a verse so that we get the full gist of it. Let's see. Job, Esther. I guess it's time to get another book, because this one is going to be a little old. Chapter 38 and verse 7. Let's pick up verse 6. Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? So this is God speaking to Job, and it's a conversation. I will just break it into it, and it's what I call wisdom key. And verse 7 says, when the morning stars sang together, what were they singing about? What I'm doing? We did a message a few weeks ago about a new song. And the idea is when you and I, when we get all excited, we tend to start to hum tunes and stuff like that, but it's really a spiritual principle. And, the point is that
we use that to celebrate. And we saw Moses doing the same thing where they escaped from Egypt and had the victory over Pharaoh and his men, and they got drowned and so on. Miriam took her timbrel or tambourine, you say, and they were playing and dancing and so on. But here it is, he says, where were you when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy because of what God was doing? That's part of what they were looking at when God actually did all his creation, because they were around. And by the way, it's logical, because they're supposed to be ministering to us. So it makes sense to make them first and actually make us at, before the angels, all right? But you get the idea. Besides additional proof, one third of them were led astray by Satan the devil. That's Revelation 12:9. All right? But you get the idea. So what I'm saying, though, is this thing just really got out of hand. Remember I said earlier that the angels, demons, but they were angels at that time, they were on the Lucifer, and in the book of Jude, there's only one chapter, that's before the book of Revelation, it says, and I'll just tell you a quick story in a minute, but let's get to it. Jude chapter 1 and verse 6 says, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. So this is what happened. They didn't stay. They left it. He had reserved, or we'd say nowadays, you arrest them until the time you're going to bring out the trial. He had reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. So they didn't do what they were supposed to do. They decided they're going to rebel. They joined up with their leader. And so he put them in a place of restraint. If you look at the Greek, it's tartaru. And it means it's almost like a jail. That's basically what it translates to. And so they are in that state now. They can still function, can't do as much as they did before, but they have a mental restraint where they can't go, too far outside the scope of what God already planted them. So that's what happened. We don't have to be scared of them because we have angels, thank God we have angels going with us, otherwise we'd be in trouble. And so they're just really assigned to us, especially when we come to the Lord. Before that, they're looking over, but after that, they have anxiety for this fellow, and so on. So what I'm saying, though, is this, you have this devil now who decides he don't want the way things are, he want to take over. And you can tell from what he has been doing, if he had, let's suppose, it's never possible, but if he had taken over, it would have not but chaos. That's all it is. That's all it would have. So back to Genesis, the first chapter, I want us to begin to see, because what I am saying is that, if you notice how God is methodical. He says in verse 3 of Genesis, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that light was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day. Darkness he called night, evening and the morning were the first day. And so he's going to go through the process of what we call recreation, in other words, cleaning things up. You go back to remember now, there was water and stuff like that all over the place. This is what I'm saying. Satan made a mess of it. Now, there was an evangelist with worldwide. In the earlier days, we had a lot of folks who studied. But he went over to India, went up some mountain, went and we saw some folks. They looked like people, but he had a feeling they weren't because of their demeanor. Dr. Hay. I don't know how. His name is spelled H-O-E-H, but that they used to pronounce it Dr. A, permanently. And he asked them, what are you doing here? And he said, well, we've been assigned to mountains. And he asked them, why didn't you, perform the task that was assigned to you? And they said it was too much for them. they couldn't be, you're overwhelmed by something. That's why this demon was saying to him. They were overwhelmed. They couldn't take it. It got to their head. And this is part of what I understand. I'll share about that in another thing about the hills and so on, why they're always there. But that's part of what happened. And so they just took, they left their first estate. And now here it is, God is coming and re-beautifying the earth. And he's going to set things up. Eventually he's going to make a garden. I was thinking about that this morning. I looked at some of the, if you get a chance, look at some of the videos about how those folks used to live in, like, Iraq and so on, with Babylon. And this lady, her bedroom was like about 40 feet by 50. it's almost like a plaza. And they'll say, that's her bedroom. The whole thing was funny to me, and I'm saying, all right, okay. They got a lot of space back then, But it goes to show people think differently. So when you think about now Adam and Eve garden, and see where the garden is, and you have a river running from it, you realize this place is big. It's almost like a territory, when you stop and think about it. All right, but anyway, what happened is that God, let's see, where am I? Okay, first one. He called the first that day, he set the light, and that was the first day. And God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And nowadays, we would just say water, or water vapor, because you have water in the gaseous form, and you divide the depth. And so what he's doing, separating it. And so you can have liquid now stay in a certain place. It's organization coming into place. What are you going to end up having? Well, lakes and rivers and seas. That's what you're going to have. And so God made the firmament and divided into waters which were under the firmament, verse 7, from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second. Then it goes on. The point is that you can read this in your own time, but what I'm saying is that he reorganized things. He set the water in one place and land in another place and so on. All right. And here it is now. He said in verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Let them be for signs. We got signs in the heaven. What is it coming up next week? A blood moon, right? There's signs in the heavens. And let there be, folks, I'll tell you something. One of the folks, we need to study these things more carefully, because I hear church people make fun of it. I didn't realize the seriousness of what they're saying. That's because there are scientists out there saying these things. They just report what they see. They don't understand the spiritual aspect of it, but we don't make fun of them. These things were for signs and seasons. And let's see, where is it again? Going to be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, less a light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. Even in the morning, in the fourth day. Now, I'm coming to something with this whole idea. Here it is, he's organizing stuff. And the whole idea in the land, up here, and then it's been sea first, and sea animals, and then man, then he come in humans. All right, and so he organized that. Now, part of what got me studying this a few weeks ago, I'm drilling down a little further. I'm going to look at it because I can say it properly. Circadian, C-I-R-C-A-D-I-A-N. Circadian rhythm. And that's basically what happened over a 24-hour period. Our body has a lot of circadian rhythm in place in us. When's the last time you stop and think of yourself, man? Yeah, what's that? Think about that. Try to hold your breath longer than 2 minutes and see what happens. No, you know you're supposed to, your body, you're used to it. He set that in motion. And so he has put certain things in motion, which I did not realize it. I don't have time to go into all of this, but you can look it up, because even, by the way, when do you grow? Is when you're sleeping, you know? When you're sleeping. When does he repair tissue that is done? When you sleep. It has a different state. It's five different stages they were pointing out. And so all these things are set in motion. Alright? Now, the other one is, that's from a medical standpoint, circadian rhythm. The next one is circaseptor. C-I-R-C-A-S-E-P-T-A-N, circaseptor. And that is a 7-day cycle. I think we've talked about this before, and we mentioned this. They have discovered one of the problems they have over in Africa. A lot of people go over there to see what? Animals. And they go up and decide that they just see not a few. And they come back Sunday and they're there. They're there every week. They know they don't have the leader over there, but they know to go rest on the Sabbath. This fellow was, I guess he was involved in drugs. He got away and he ran up into somewhere up in southern part of Canada. And he ran into some beavers. So he went out to go visit them one Sabbath and he didn't see any. So he thought, wait a minute. He came back the next day and they were there. And so he started, so he discovered it. And he realized beavers do this regularly. Come sundown Friday, they stop working and start again sundown Saturday evening, they start again. They do that regularly. Don't know, those are the only animals we know that do it like that. We know some bees in Brazil that are doing that. A lot of the land animals in Africa, they just rest on the Sabbath. That's it. But my point is this, where did they get this thing from? This is part of what God has put in them. Now, it is part of it, but it's circaseptin rhythm that is in their cycle, and they just know, I don't know how he does it, but my point is that their body just knows when it is, and they know when it's the day. I turn it off now, but I have a lot of clocks, and I have one to wake me up. Well, guess what I've noticed now? I'm waking up like 10 minutes before the alarm. I'm turning it off when I wake up because I know it's going to alarm. My point though is that my body is so used to operating a certain way that it knows it somehow I just wake up. Now, I did not know until I started to read about circadian rhythm that I go into another gear. I'm gearing down like you're driving a car. You're gearing down and you're getting ready to wake up. Your body does that. And that is part of the circadian rhythm that God has put in us. Now, I'm saying this to say, he put some of these things in here, but there are some that we have to make a choice. And he says, 6 days shall your work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. Now, if a beaver can do it, who can read and write, why can't we grown up? So we have to make a choice. And the way that seemed right to a lot of people is destroying them. When they stop and think about it, there's a lot that we could accomplish, but we're not following his way and doing things his way. Consequently, we're not receiving as he had promised and what he had purposed for us to receive. So I'm saying this to say, now, he has a lot of what I call systems in place. Now, there's one more I just want to mention. By the way, there are other systems too, but I don't want to take time. Infradian, I-N-F-R-A-D-I-A-N, infradian rhythms. And that is one that happened at a different cycle, for example. How does the body know when time for the baby? 9 months, How do they know? Nobody knows. And God set all these things in motion. And he does it through land animals and so on. And of course, the point is that, I mean, you know, that's a system that he has put in place. His revelation knowledge is all around us if we would only stop to think about these things. And what I am recognizing now is that there is a need for me to embrace this thing more and more. Oh yes, I've been drilling down and studying a whole lot and getting really excited and somewhat a little beside myself in that area. Now, I want to mention one more thing that I'm going to go to Leviticus, because there was a gentleman several years ago, I don't remember what year it was, but the church was going through some challenges, and they interviewed this man. He was a multi-millionaire, he's from Australia. And they were asking him, you know, what's the source of your money? And he said, well, you know, there was a time I used to work 7 days a week and I couldn't make anything that he wanted me. After he came to some understanding that he needed to rest one day a week. And he said, that's when I started to make money. And he ended up being a billionaire. He said he had to rest one day a week. I never did say which day. I did put in silent book so that they wouldn't persecute him. My point was that here did this man discover the secret. And so he was applying it. Now I'm saying this to try to share with us so that we now can make our resolution, so we resolve to do things God's way. Because when you turn, check it out, folks, you can't go wrong doing things God's way. As a matter of fact, I have a message online. God's way is easy. It's when we go contrary to it, then life becomes hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. Now, in Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, we're familiar with it. I'm just going to browse through it. Just to Leviticus Numbers. We see where it is listed, where God is pointing out, now, concerning the feast of the Lord. And he has a way of celebrating and doing what he calls it feast. You know, the point is that it's significant, but it's also a celebration. And I hear people talk as if it's a burden. Well, Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, the Lord speak unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel. And remember again, the children of Israel were what? They were the guinea pigs. And what happened to them were written and recorded for us. So by extension, he's really telling us these things. Concerning the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done. And guess what he's talking about now? The circadian, let me see, circaseptan day. That's why I use that instead of really the seventh. And so that's what he's talking about. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath, and so that's the holy day. Did you get the idea? And you begin to see now you have these things in motion. Now, we can get some blessings without doing things fully His way. But our best comes when we actually follow Him. What does the proverb say? Stolen stuff tastes sweet. Yes, people steal watermelon or orange and so on, and they say, oh man, that tastes good, but you stop and think about it afterwards, you feel bad because what you did was wrong. You acquired it the wrong way. And so my point here is that, you know, he has these things in place, and if we only understand it, if we just don't learn and make up our mind, now we're going to grow, so you'll have to be there all at once, but you are advancing. Okay, so that's the idea behind it. And so as we're advancing, then we're going to make choices about which system we're going to adapt. From my viewpoint, I'm looking to see which system I must discard. You know, I've changed a lot of things. I've been changing a lot of things. I've been changing more. Because I find out, wait a minute, that's too much the world's way. Let's do something more. That's what the Bible says, and then that's what I apply. And that's what I'm encouraging folks to do. So he gives us all the days here. We're familiar with that. I won't take time to read it. For those who are online, remember, go ahead and read the whole chapter of Leviticus the 23rd. You know, just read about it, and he tell you about the appointed times, because here it is, not next week, but the following Wednesday, Tuesday, is the Feast of Trumpets. And we'll talk more about it before then, but what I'm saying is that we need to be preparing ourselves, and we make quality decisions, because we have a mind, because he set before us life and death. And most people don't realize it, because judgment is not executed immediately. The Bible said the sons of men continue to do evil. So they think, well, we got away until it catch up with you. I end up going to the hospital because I didn't do something. What? I didn't drink my water when I was supposed to. Didn't pay attention. It's not that he didn't warn me. He warned me 3 times. Take care of yourself and all that. I got so busy. Yeah, doing things my way. Till it was too late. But he showed mercy. And I asked the Lord, please take this thing away from me. Crush it up. And he didn't do it. I said, Lord, go ahead, take away the pain there. Since he didn't crush it up, let's take away the pain. To this day, there was no pain. None. This very day. Now, he was merciful. But trust me, everybody was telling me, I don't understand this, because they know about him and someone and say, oh man, it is painful. Well, there was no pain. None. He's packed up the day after they called us here on Thursday morning. One of us, you know, any pain? And I said, no, none. No, first he asked if I'm taking my pain medication. That's what I didn't get it. Well, what about the pain? I said, there isn't any. I told him I didn't think I would need it. But my point is that, you know, God showed me mercy again. It goes to show, you know, how he is. And when you mess up, confess. Just go ahead and tell you mess up. You know, just acknowledge you goof off, you did make a mistake, you're sorry. Listen, in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 22, we have an assignment here. So let's look at it. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's what literature here is using, describing things in a literary way. From the way they used to have that type of water washing and so on before Jesus went to the cross. Let us hold fast, verse 23, the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And so here it is, he's telling us, stick with it. Make a choice and follow him. Continue, verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is. Some people don't realize that there is a blessing that comes upon them just come into the presence of God. Just to come into the presence of God. I know, I didn't say you have to study and be a genius and anything. Just to come into his presence make a difference. If you have 1 minute to talk to somebody who will be willing to listen to you and have the capacity to do whatever it is that you desire, would you spend that time with him? Because he was 24 hours. The whole Sabbath, that's what I was referencing. The whole Sabbath. Let's go to Isaiah 58. Because what I'm saying is, we have to make these choices, ladies and gentlemen. I reminded the Lord, I said, listen, I've got to preach next week, so please take care of me. And after that, I mean, I felt so comfortable, I knew he was going to take care of me. So verse 13 says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on thy holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and you and shall honor him and doing thy not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Let's talk about the Bible. Some more about Jesus. Let's drill down a little further and begin to see. I like to, you know, sometimes I really kind of don't really lays away, but it's informative. I look at the videos I was telling you about with the Hebrews and so on. I look at those things on the Sabbath on YouTube. And you go in and I'm constantly absorbing more and more. And say, look at the way God is operating. By the way, did I mention it? There are some bees that they have. They're way out in Brazil in the jungle. They don't sting either. And the honey that they make, they're saying, is very, very expensive. It's very rare. But they don't leave the hive on the Sabbath. Well, there's a gentleman, I don't know, some of your endless people, they see research people than everybody else, and they has quite a few hundred miles they had in where they discovered this. But that's what happened. And folks went there and filmed them. They don't leave behind on the Sabbath, and they don't bite, you know, what they stay. They, in fact, I did not know that they have to have something special to develop to stay. Well, they don't have it. Now, if they, what they were pointing out is if they cook some turnip somewhere else and so you can see now they are on a different atmosphere. My point though is that God set these things in place. And so here it is now. He's telling us to go in and choose, make this our choice. And from time to time, we always going to end up with some decision-making opportunity. All right, let's press on because I'm short on time. You know, the Apostle Paul was pointing something out in the book of Acts, the 18th chapter. And he is showing that he made a decision. Chapter 18 and verse 21. He bade them farewell. And he says, saying, I must by all means keep the feast that is coming in Jerusalem. So he decided, I'm going to keep the feast. And he had made a decision, I'm going to do it in Jerusalem. He made a decision. And so he's leaving and he goes to keep the feast in Jerusalem. In the book of Mark, the first chapter, Matthew, Mark, Jesus is speaking, and he says in chapter 1, verse 37. And when he had found him, he said unto him, all men seek for thee, as Simon was searching for Jesus. And he said unto them, let us go into the next town, that I may preach there also, for therefore am I therefore came I forth. So in other words, he was sent to go this other place. So he made a quality decision. I'm going to go there also. Everybody was there talking about him, want to see him. And he's still like, I'm not going to go to the next town. You know, we're not here. How are we going to go? But my point here is this, he's making a quality decision. Just like how you and I are going to practice what? Making quality decision. Back to Acts chapter 22. The Apostle Paul is making a statement again. Because remember, Jesus had told the disciples, go not into the way of the Gentiles. That's Matthew chapter 10, verse 14. Well, here in Acts chapter 22 and verse 21, you know, Paul is declaring that, and he said unto me, depart, for I will send you from henceforth unto the Gentiles. So that's when he made the decision to send Paul unto the Gentiles. But what my point again is that they made quality decisions, and that's what you and I have to do. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be resolved to do these things. Now, one more stuff I want to get before we just go ahead and kind of start to summarize. In the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 8. I'm sure you're familiar with this, but let's go ahead and look at it again. Chapter 8. Because in verse 28... he says, And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them that who are called according to his purpose. So here it is now. Things in general are going to work out for our good if we pay attention to them. Right? Continue. Verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now here it is now. God already made up his mind long ago that he would have called some people. And here it is. We are among those who were predestinated to be called. How do I know that? Because we're answering the call. He had made a decision some time before that he could have called some people first. Now, the Jews didn't understand this fully. They think it was all about them. And then later on, they end up being blinded. But here, God saw things, realized what was going on, and had things in place. And so he predestinated us, that you and I, to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, right? And verse 30 says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, then he also glorified. And we talked about that, I think, about 4 or 5 weeks ago, about, you know, glorification. But the point is that God has certain good, certain things in and through us. It's a whole lot when you stop and think about it. And he has everything organized. So when you hear me talk about systems, you know, I get a little excited about it. Okay, that was one of my areas of studies in school. But my point is that he had this thing organized. And so, what's the conclusion of all the whole matter then? What is it you and I are supposed to do? It is the responsibility of those who send anyone out and those who go to ensure that they have the knowledge and the character. You can have the knowledge and the character. A lot of folks have knowledge. And they go to certain places, certain countries. And yeah, just the other day, I hear they've seen a lack of quite a few missionaries over in Canada, using people and stuff like that. But what they did was wrong. But because, you know, they have a few dollars in their pocket, they can do whatever they want. Well, they did not. They like the character, and I doubt that they had knowledge in the first place. But anyway, that was the case. And then you have some folks now who, you know, have character, they don't know much about the Bible. They can't explain it. They can't expound on it. They really need to stay home. They're not ready to go. And a case in point was that gentleman who ended up having a really big ministry in India. Dr. T.L. Alvin, I can mention his name. But as he said, he wasn't ready. He went over there, and those people with the demons, stuff like that, they had the better of him. And by the time he came back, he was like, you know, I would want to say a wreck. But he was really beat up bad. So he spent quite a few years developing himself, and around people like Paul Roberts and so on, before he was ready to get. A lot of folks want to go, you know, they're not ready to go. Stay home. They need to go and build themselves up. But my point here is that you need both. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 6 explain to us that we need to get knowledge and be supposed to be expanded along that line. At the knowledge, virtue, and so on. You get the idea. You can read all of that. And that's why you're going to make your call on election sure, probably verse 10 of that chapter. But my point here is that we need to prepare ourselves and to act accordingly. In addition, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, let me turn to it. Second Peter 3:18 says, for when they speak, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So the point is here is this. He's giving us our marching orders. We're supposed to be growing. We're not going to stand still. We're going to move forward. And we're going to constantly make quality decisions. You know, Proverbs, the fourth chapter, and verse 13, says we must take fast hold of instructions. What I've noticed is that when folks are not really willing to drag their feet, they are always an excuse why they're going to study later, not now. Well, we tell you, he knows my heart. We can pray tomorrow. And of course, I remember in grade 4, this little fellow, he asked a question, you know, it's supposed to be a riddle. Which day will never come? We can figure it out. And he told us, it was tomorrow. Grade 4 at the time. George Kirby. He was the one who asked that question. I'm saying this to say, no, not Kirby, Paul. But my point is that we have to make decisions, ladies and gentlemen. And he's put us all before us. We're supposed to be expanding our scope of knowledge. We're expanding our fund of knowledge. We're supposed to be expanding in the work that he's called us to do. And remember, we're not going to finish before he comes back. When he comes back, we're not going to be finished. There's going to be so much. But my point is that we're still going to go, Roger. We're still going to continue to do what we're supposed to do. I want to encourage you along that line. May God be with you. Thank you so much for listening.